Well, I'm so glad we are all here today. And I can see that it's raining just now. But we are safe. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in a sheltered place. The Bible tells us, he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty will... He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will be safe under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to thank you, Most High God, for the privilege to dwell in your shelter today. We thank you that you provided that shelter for us in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I come before you today thanking you for the privilege to continue the study of your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take over this meeting and that your Holy Spirit will speak through me as I surrender and submit myself to him and to his authority to work in me and through me. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will enable your word today to be not only heard, but heeded, where you challenge us with your calling to do what you want us to do. I pray that we will heed his call. I thank you so much that you are God who is so loving and so caring and so faithful and so gracious to us. You have never failed us and you have never forsaken us. And I want to thank you for that again today. And I commit this service to you that you will bless and glorify the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is seated at your right hand right now interceding for us so that we who believe in you may be saved to the uttermost. These things I pray in his name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, the story is told of a young paratrooper who admitted that he had been frightened the first time he jumped. There was nothing but a big piece of fabric between him and death. When you go up there, there's nothing between you and death but a piece of fabric. What if that fabric accidentally tore apart? What if his ripcord didn't work and the parachute failed to open? But when he jumped, everything functioned perfectly, supported by that life-preserving umbrella over his head. The man floated earthward. He said, I had a release from fear and a marvelous feeling of exhilaration. What about the promises God makes in the Bible? Will they uphold us in times of crisis? Well, it all depends on whether we believe them to be God's promises, not merely printed words, black marks on white paper, not simply the guesses of fallible human beings like ourselves. Because they are the promises of God Almighty, we can cling to them with absolute assurance. This should motivate the believer in Jesus Christ to approach the throne of God in all honesty and humility to lay bold claim to God's promises in prayer. Throughout the ages, our God, listen, has been trusted millions upon millions of times. And he has never been proven untrustworthy. So let's trust him today and add our personal testimony to that of the countless host of fellow believers who have found that our promise-keeping God is unfailingly faithful. One of the countless host of fellow believers who found God to be absolutely trustworthy is the prophet Habakkuk. One lesson Habakkuk's life teaches us is that God always responds to the cry for help from his people. Habakkuk realizes that God is in control of this universe and that he's working out his own purposes in his own time. Habakkuk learns that he can trust implicitly in God. While God does not promise that he will unravel every problem, he does assure believers that we can put our trust, our confidence, our hope absolutely in him and seek him to do a God-sized work in our day and in our time. So this brings me to the heart or the main idea of the message God has given me today from his holy word to deliver to you. Will you please listen carefully, attentively to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and goodness, is so keen and willing to plant the seed of God's infallible and inerrant word in order to transform all who are believers in this gathering more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, the Lord and leader of the church, and to turn the unsaved from their sin of unbelief to a personal faith in Jesus Christ, the remover of sins and the redeemer of sinners. So in a nutshell, here is what we are going to talk about today. Will you please listen carefully, attentively to it with an open mind and an open heart? God, listen, is more than able to renew his works in our day. But he must be humbly and earnestly sought for the renewal. I repeat, God is more than able to renew his works in our day, but he must be earnestly and humbly sought for the renewal. Folks, friends, fellow believers in the family of God, this is exactly what we are going to see for ourselves as we begin our verse by verse 30 of the last chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Knowing that the believer can put his trust absolutely in God, who is faithful in keeping his promises, Habakkuk, the prophet, approaches the throne of God in all humility and earnestness, beseeching God to do a God-sized work in his day. How many of you believe that God is absolutely faithful? If you don't believe that, then there's something wrong, because there is only one person who has proven over the ages in the entire universe to be faithful all the time. And that is the person of God who is revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us tonight a passage of scripture that can be described as a passage of reverence and revival. But you ask, what makes this brief passage of scripture, which is only 20 words in the original, a passage of reverence and revival? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. I'll give you one reason for each description. That is the description of reverence and the description of revival. First of all, this passage is a passage of reverence because, please listen carefully, it vividly portrays the prophet's holy reverence for God. Remember in chapter 1, Habakkuk brought tough questions to God. Let me recap them to you if you have forgotten, in chapter 1 alone, several times he asked God, why? Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Chapter 1, verse 3. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? All those questions are from chapter 1, verse 13. These questions and the prayers offered by Habakkuk in chapter 1 were asked almost in a demanding tone. And it seemed as if Habakkuk was not showing respect for God. But now in chapter 3, we see Habakkuk in a new light. His final prayer assumes a different attitude and tone. We see Habakkuk demonstrating holy reverence, earthly respect, the highest regard for God when he personally declares, Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear, or I stand in awe. Now, if you stand in awe of someone, what are you saying? You are showing what? Reverence. Respect. The highest regard. What holy reverence displayed by Habakkuk? What about you? Do you stand in awe of God? Do you show God the healthy respect he deserves? If not, why not? Well, the second, this passage is a passage of revival. Revival is a major topic today. Many people are seeking for revival. Well, Habakkuk deals with the subject of revival. So, this passage is a passage of revival because it clearly presents to us Habakkuk's passionate desire for the revival of God's work in his day. Habakkuk fervently called upon God, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. When was the last time you earnestly cried out to God to revive his work in our day? You see, we cannot just talk about revival. If you want to learn what revival means, we have to follow the footsteps of Habakkuk. He didn't just talk about revival. He took it to God, pressing God, persevering in prayer in God's presence, asking God to revive, to renew his works in his day. So these are the reasons why this passage is a passage of reverence and a passage of revival. Well, having so far simply whetted your spiritual appetite, and I hope you have a healthy spiritual appetite, will you please now allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present to you our passage of study. First of all, we will consider the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk, of the prophet in verse 1. The prayer of the prophet in verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 3 is a self-contained prayer psalm intended to be sung with stringed accompaniment. So it is not a part of the interaction or dialogue between Habakkuk and God as the first two chapters are. Remember in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Habakkuk would ask God a question and God will respond. Then he asks God's question, God responds. So it was a dialogue between Habakkuk and God in chapter 1 as well as in chapter 2. But in chapter 3, Habakkuk goes to God in prayer. But nevertheless, chapter 3 fits in with the theme of those chapters, that is chapter 1 and 2, as can be seen by the strong expression of faith in spite of all circumstances, which are found in chapter 3. So one can say that Habakkuk's prayer is a response to God's answer in chapter 2. When Habakkuk waited for God to speak, God did speak in chapter 2. And after some time, Habakkuk took time to go back to God in prayer. So that is what we have. The whole of chapter 3 is a prayer. You see, in the midst of the world's evil and God's ultimate justice and judgment, Habakkuk has learned to live by faith in God and to trust the wisdom of God's methods and purposes. He has said the just will live by faith. God told him that, and now Habakkuk is living that out in his own life by approaching God in faith, seeking God, trusting the wisdom of God's methods and purposes. Is that the case in your life or my life? Do you trust God's wisdom and his purposes and his methods to do what he wants to do? Well, Habakkuk did. Second, we will look at the person to whom the prophet prayed in verse 2a. Please listen. Habakkuk prayed to a personal divine being. So the question to you today, who do you pray to? Do you pray to a personal divine being? Or do you pray like many today to a force or some higher power in the skies above? We'll talk about that in detail. Third and finally, we will examine the petitions of the prophet in prayer in verses 2b and 2c. So the first thing we'll look at is the prayer of the prophet. Secondly, the person to whom the prophet prayed. And thirdly, petitions of the prophet in prayer. Please listen, the prophet Habakkuk knew that God is not only to be praised, but also petitioned. As such, Habakkuk did not shy away from bringing his petitions to the Lord his God. I've heard some well-meaning but misguided Christians say, all you need to do is to praise God. You don't need to ask him to do anything for you. Just keep praising God. Well, that sounds so pious, but it is not prudent. It is not proper. If Habakkuk were here to meet these people today, he will rebuke them for their unbiblical teachings. Because Habakkuk praised God, but he also petitioned God. So that is the balance. The Lord Jesus himself praised God, but he also petitioned God. So to say that all we have to do is to praise God, it's not biblical. It's not balanced. We have to praise God, and we also have to bring our petitions to him. The Lord Jesus himself taught us in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. What is that? It's a praise to God. But then later on he says, give us our daily bread. What is that? It is asking God to do something for you and for me. So, Habakkuk brought two specific petitions to the Lord his God. What were the two petitions he brought to God? His first petition is revival of God's work. Verse 2b. And his second petition concerns remembrance of God's mercy in wrath. So having given you a mouth-watering overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is eager to impress upon your heart and my heart today as we study the precious word of God. We begin first of all with his teaching, focusing on the prayer of the prophet in verse 1. I tell you, friends, Habakkuk was a prophet of prayer. All throughout the book of Habakkuk, we see the prophet at prayer. In fact, Habakkuk's prayer life will put many of us who call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ to shame. Habakkuk had a consistent life of prayer, not a casual life of prayer. Habakkuk had a fervent life of prayer, not a fading life of prayer like many of us. He had a persevering life of prayer, not a passive prayer life. I pray that the Holy Spirit will challenge you and I to new heights in our prayer life as we look at the life of Habakkuk. Because we can't study Habakkuk without being challenged regarding our own prayer life. Will you please listen again to what the Bible says about the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk? The Bible says in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. Now, the original says that in five words, Tefillah la Kavakuk Hanavi al Shigionoth. After perceiving the promises and warnings of chapters 1 and 2, the prophet Habakkuk is now led by the Holy Spirit to conclude his book with prayer and praise. You see, in the beginning, he was arguing with God. But now in chapter 3, he says, hearing all that God has said to me, the best thing for me to do is not to argue, is not to question God anymore. What I would do is pray. Give praise to God. Bless his name. And this is exactly what he did. How wonderful is that? Well, in so doing, Habakkuk recalls past manifestation of God's power and grace toward his people. He prays for the speedy deliverance of God's people, and he expresses a firm confidence in God, which is unchangeable. Would you please notice that chapter 3 is entitled, what? A prayer. The Hebrew word translated prayer is tefillah. Tefillah. This female Hebrew noun also means intercession for someone. So Habakkuk is not praying just for himself. He's praying for what? Others. He's praying for his land, basically. It also means entreaty, supplication, or him. Like we sang, he leadeth me. This is actually the most general Hebrew word for prayer in the Old Testament. If you want to know about prayer, the general word for prayer in the Old Testament, this is the word, tefillah. Habakkuk used it here. Remember Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7 stated that God's house will be called what? A house of prayer. The word for prayer there is tefillah, the general term for prayer. The Lord Jesus, as you remember, quoted this verse when he cleansed the temple courtyard. He told the people who were selling food, "Don't you know that my Father's house will be called the house of prayer?" That is the house of tefillah. Tefillah, this Hebrew word for prayer, was used as a title in five psalms in the Bible. That is Psalm 17, Psalm 86, Psalm 90, Psalm 102, and Psalm 142. When you open those psalms, they begin with the word prayer. tefillah in the Hebrew. Tefillah. The term tefillah denotes a prayer which is set to music and sung in formal worship. And this word tefillah actually occurs 77 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. Now notice that in verse 1, Habakkuk is referred to us as Habakkuk the prophet. That is Kavakuk Hanavi in the original. But you ask, what is the significance of this reference? What is a big deal about the Bible pointing to us that Habakkuk is the prophet? Well, remember, this is how Habakkuk was described in chapter 1, verse 1. He was described or introduced to us as what? Habakkuk the prophet. In that chapter, the one thing we learned was that Habakkuk's prayer was characterized by an argumentative tone. I just recited to you some of the questions he asked God. Why do you cause me to look on iniquity? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? But now in chapter 3, verse 1, we are going to see a major transformation in Habakkuk and his prayer. Habakkuk's prayers will be marked in chapter 3 with pleas for God's mercy and praises for God's power, sustaining grace, and sufficiency. What a change that has taken place in the life of Habakkuk. His glorious experience on the watchtower, remember chapter 2, he said, I will station myself on my guard post and do what? Wait. So his experience on the watchtower and his patient waiting for an answer from God have brought him into a place of real faith and have opened his eyes to something he was not conscious of before. Let me ask you, has your prayer life brought a change in your life? Some people say prayer changes things. Yes, it will do that. But the main thing prayer does is it changes you and it changes me. Has your prayer life brought you into a place of real faith in God? Has it opened your eyes to something you were not conscious of before? Well, it did for Habakkuk, and it can do it for you and for me. Now, will you please notice that Habakkuk's prayer is described as being according to Shigionoth. Now, if I've never read Habakkuk, I would have never come across that word, Shigionoth. This word is not an English word, so please don't try to look for its meaning in the English dictionary. Actually, Shigionoth occurs only twice in the Hebrew Old Testament. Once in the singular form, that is Shigayon, in Psalm 7 verse 1. That is how Psalm 7 verse 1 begins. Shigayon. And once in the plural in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 1. So the word is very rare. The precise meaning is unknown. However, in the light of the musical notation at the end of chapter 3, you notice that at the end of chapter 3 of Habakkuk, the Bible says what? For the choir director on my stringed instruments. So we know that this has to do with something. This Shigionoth has to do with music. So we are certain that it refers to the kind of music which accompanied the song. The thought is one of a song sung in great excitement, a triumphant song. That is a song delivered in the greatest excitement or with a rapid change of emotion. So this whole chapter 3 is a prayer that is going to be sung. So Shigionoth is teaching us the Habakkuk's prayer psalm was designed for public worship, even as seen from the inscription, the subscription, and the musical notation, Selah. In verses 3, it ends with Selah. In verse 9, Selah. In verse 13, Selah. So it is admittedly one of the most majestic and sublime portions of the Word of God. But this Shigionoth is telling us that this prayer that was composed by Habakkuk the prophet will be sung when God's people gather together to worship God. Now remember the prayer the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, which we call the Lord's Prayer, is also set to music and designed for public worship. I don't know if you have sung it recently. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh, amen. So, Habakkuk chapter 3. It's something like that. When the Jewish people gather together to worship God, and that time comes to use Habakkuk chapter 3, they all lift their voices, praying, singing this psalm prayer that Habakkuk was led by the Holy Spirit to compose. While Bible commentator Charles Feinberg shares this convicting and challenging insight about Habakkuk's heart of prayer. And I quote him. He says, "It is interesting to note how Habakkuk lays bare his heart at the beginning of each chapter of his prophecy. He was no passive spectator of the sad spiritual decline of Judah, nor was he a passive recipient of the telling solution of God as he waited on his watch. These disclosures stirred him deeply, as they should do for all of us. What God had revealed of the Chaldean attack on Judah and God's retribution on Chaldea, that is the answer of God in chapter 2, especially had disturbed the prophet and filled his heart with terror and awe. He finds his outlet in prayer." End quote. I wonder today if you and I are passive spectators of the sad spiritual decline of the United States of America. I wonder today if what we are learning from the book of Habakkuk is stirring us deeply to step up our prayers for the greatest nation on earth. I wonder today if we will simply be passive recipients of God's solution for the spiritual malady of this great nation of the United States. I tell you, friends and fellow believers in the family of God, the Holy Spirit is using the book of Habakkuk to convict and challenge me to step up my prayers for this country in which spiritual decline is now at an all-time low. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will do the same in your heart as well. Because we can't learn Habakkuk and not be challenged to pray more for our country. Because that's what we see Habakkuk doing in his book. One of the basic questions about the subject of prayer is this. To whom is true prayer directed? This is one of the basic questions about prayer. Well, some people will say Mary. There are many people who pray to Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. And I've shared my story with you when I was a young Catholic boy, how many times I recited my rosaries and prayed to Mother Mary. Well, others will tell us we can pray to angels. Still, some will say prayer should be directed to a higher power. Sadly, there are millions who pray fervently to false gods and idols, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear, who have hands but cannot lift them up to help themselves, let alone help others. And they have feet but cannot move or walk. Well, in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk prays consistently and confidently to the Lord his God. So this brings us to the second teaching point of our passage of study, that is the person to whom the prophet prayed. We'll see that in verse 2. Will you please notice the opening words of Habakkuk's prayer? After the Bible says, a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk. According to Sigyonath, the first words that follow that is the prayer of Habakkuk. So this is going to reveal to us a lot about the person to whom Habakkuk directed his prayer. The Bible says in the first part of verse 2, Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Now please listen carefully. Habakkuk didn't pray to some higher power or force in the skies above. Rather, the Bible tells us he prayed to a personal, living, spiritual, divine being. In fact, the very first word of Habakkuk's prayer is the covenant word or the covenant name of God, that is the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existing, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, who is fully and finally revealed to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, in the original, the first part of verse 2 is only four words. Yahweh, Shamathi, Shemeaka, Yarethi. The NASB translated in 11 words, one of which it indicates that it is not in the original. Habakkuk prayed to a person named what? Yahweh, the Lord. This teaches us a simple yet significant lesson about prayer. That is, true biblical prayer, effective and effectual prayer, is directed to the true living and personal supreme deity of the universe. Folks, may I remind you again today, Habakkuk didn't turn to a higher power or force in the skies above. Rather, he turned to a person, that is, a personal, living, and loving God of the universe, who is also the only true God of the universe. Please listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to pray to who? a person, the living and loving God. You are to pray to the faithful God, not to a false or a false God. You are to pray to the Almighty God, not to angels. You are to pray to the mighty God, not to Mary. Habakkuk's prayer was directed only to the only true God of the universe. I tell you, friends, one of the things you can test or tell about somebody's spiritual life, if you want to know the spiritual life of someone, all you have to do is to ask one simple question. You know that question is, to whom do you pray? That will reveal a lot to you about the spiritual life of that person. If you ask me and I tell you I pray to Buddha, it tells you a lot about where my trust, my confidence is. If you ask me, Joseph, who do you pray to? And I say, I pray to Mary. It tells you a lot about where my trust is. So the God you pray to, listen, reveals a lot about your spiritual life. So this is why the lesson in Habakkuk is so precious. He's teaching us that the God he prays to is the only true God of the universe, and his name is what? Yahweh, the Lord. May I humbly say to us that prayer to any other God who is not the Lord, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is a waste of time. I don't care how fervent you pray to your God and how much time you devote in praying to that God. If he is not the Lord, the great I am, the creator and possessor of the universe, the sovereign of the nations, the sustainer of the universe, the ruler and redeemer of sinners, then you have missed the boat. Your prayers are to no avail. Please listen. Prayers that count, prayers that make a difference for the cause of Christ, are prayers that are directed to the true and living God, Yahweh, that is the Lord, who is fully revealed to us